Morning, family. It is good to be with you this morning, and we just want to emphasize that this is an opportunity for you. And I know you're in your home somewhere, hopefully tucked away, where you can allow yourself just to worship, allow yourself to receive from the Lord. The best part about it is God is Spirit, so no walls are going to stop the ability for His Spirit to connect in all of us. Just to be together. And we're thankful that we've got the ability to interact with each other in this way. But we're going to spend a little bit of time singing songs and praising the Lord and just making a joyful noise. And so I want to encourage you to get yourself ready and allow yourself just to give God praise. He wants to hear your voice, and that might just be you alone. That's good. Sing it out. Join us. Sing of His glorious day. I was buried beneath my shame. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb. Till I met You, and I was breathing but not alive, but all my failures I tried to hide, it was my doom, till I met You. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, to Your glorious day. Oh, You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, Your glorious day. Amen. Let's sing of His mercy. Now Your mercy has saved my soul, and now Your freedom is all that I know. The old man knew, Jesus, when I met You, when You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, to Your glorious day, You called my name. Darkness to Your glorious day. All right, amen. Let's get ready to tell our story. This is who we are, who we were. Hallelujah.
I need a rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of Your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now You call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, You were my healing. Now Your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. So when You call my name, out of the darkness into Your glorious day. When You call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into Your glorious day. Oh, oh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He called our name. We ran out of that grave. And right now, in the midst of what's going on, I pray, God, that our focus, our heart, Lord, would be on you. That we would know there is no grave that can hold. Hallelujah. You feel obliged? Those hands clapping. When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken, I won't be shaken. Oh, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. When shame no longer has a place to hide, I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. This power, come on. This power that can break off every chain, and this power that can empty out a grave. This resurrection power that can save, the power in your name, power in your name. The power that can break off every chain, the power that can empty out a grave. The resurrection power that can save, power in your name, power in your name. And my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear, come on. Oh, and my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, stand in the love. Standing on the promises of the Lord. Hallelujah. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I'm standing in your love. Right now, God, we receive your love. There is nothing we need to fear in these moments right now. Hallelujah. You will make a way. Hallelujah.
You're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Come on. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, oh. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And that is who you are. 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 You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker. Even when I don't see it, you're working, Lord. You're a miracle worker. There's nothing that stands in your way, Lord. You are King. The King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. That is who you are. 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 You are worthy of praise, Lord Jesus, throned above. The great I am, the King of kings, Lord. Heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one, singing hallelujah. Holy, holy God Almighty, the great I am, who is worthy. None beside thee, God Almighty, the great I am. I want to be near, near to your heart, loving the world, but hating the dark. I want to see dry bones living again, singing as one,
singing hallelujah. Holy, holy, God Almighty, the great I am. Who is worthy? None beside thee, God Almighty, the great I am. Great I am. Oh, you're the great I am. The mountains shake before you, the demons run and flee. At the mention of your name, King of Majesty, there is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. The great I am. The great I am. The great I am. The great I am, the great I am. Hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, the great I am. Who is worthy? None beside thee, God Almighty.
God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. God, there's a lot of fear right now. There's a lot of uncertainty. There are jobs that are being lost. There are governments that are being confused and lied to, and it's easy to look at what we see on the television and think, We have no future. We have no hope. But to the mind of a believer, to the mind of those who are in Christ, we know, God, that you are on the throne. Lord, your word even says that before you come, there are going to be disasters, diseases, earthquakes. These are all the birth pains that, Lord, eventually will lead to your return. So we can sing a song like, "You are the great I am." And know that Satan has no foothold. The God, you are here. You are the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. You are a light in the darkness. God, we give to you this time. May you be glorified, Father. May your name be praised. For you are worthy. It's in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said, amen.
Good morning, Abundant Life family. I'm glad you're with us this morning on this second Sunday of broadcast. God is good. I love the songs that Pastor Sean chose this morning. That even when we don't see it, you're working. Even when we don't feel it, you're working. Our fear doesn't stand a chance when we're standing in your love. Those are great songs, and we need those today. We need to know that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be worried. This whole virus scenario is not a surprise to God. He didn't wake up one morning and went, "Oh no, I never saw this coming." God knows. He's way ahead of us. He's in our future. Matter of fact, he's in heaven with us right now. He's beyond time. What is it that we have to worry about? There's nothing we have to fear. So I hope you're feeling that this morning and enjoying your time with at home and being relaxed and comfortable. And it's great to be able to bring this to you. I want to give you a few things before we jump into this morning's teaching. Number one, just some reports that the prayer gatherings that we started before this whole lockdown began are doing great. If you're not a part of one, make sure you get involved in a weekly prayer gathering. On the website, if you scroll down the coming events, you'll see the different prayer gatherings on their day listed. If you just click on that date, the information of the where it is and the contact person is there. For instance, our group meets on Tuesday night. We had 7 or 8 people join us for prayer, and we did it over a video conference. It went beautiful. And if you click on Tuesday night, you'll see our name there, and the information will come down. You can contact me through email, and I'll give you the info for that. So that's important. Number two, we're trying really hard to connect everybody in the church and to make sure everybody's okay. We don't know who has needs or who just needs a nice reach out, maybe lonely or concerned. And so we're trying to reach out to each and every person. If you haven't yet been contacted by someone, you will in the next couple of days. If you still haven't been contacted by someone, then it's likely that we didn't get information via a connection card. And I know some of us just, we don't want to fill those out on Sunday. We're tired of filling them out, or we're worried that our information gets out there. But it's for such a time as this that we fill out those connection cards so that when there is a need to contact each other, we have it. So if you don't hear from anyone, it's likely that we didn't get your information from you. So you can go ahead and write a note to our church office at ALAG office online. That's ALAG office, A-L-A-G office at ALAGonline.com. A lot of ALAGs in there. Let me say it one more time. ALAG office at ALAGonline.com. Give us your info, then we can connect you with someone who can follow up and just be there for you if you need. Also on the website, we made a bunch of changes so that we can serve each other much more effectively during this time. Number one is a place to put prayer requests. Now that, if you click on that today, it's not quite ready today. But in the next couple of days, that will be ready, the prayer request tab. And so if you have a need, you can click that, write your need there, and it will then be circulated to the people that will be praying for you. Also, we're ready with online giving. If you go to the website on the giving tab, there are some instructions and some theology about what we feel about the tithe and God's mandate to give. But there's an option to give online. Now, it's important for you to understand that with online giving via your credit or debit card, there is a charge. That's a 3% charge. And we are very, very convinced that God's whole tithe needs to come to the storehouse, according to Malachi chapter 3. So the 3% will be added on to your gift. So, for instance, if you give $10, 3% will be added on to that $10, and so you'll give $10 plus that 3%. So just be aware of that. If you don't want to pay the 3%, then you can use the traditional means by bringing your offerings to the church on Sunday or sending it in via check. Or a real simple way is just to go through your online banking with your personal bank and connect the church with your online banking. I do that with a lot of our bills each month, and that's free as well through your local bank. So there's just different ways that you can give. But if you really want to use the online giving, it's there for you on the website, and use the tab there. Two more things. One is that I've been talking a little bit lately about my podcast, Life 66. I titled it that because there's 66 books in the Bible, and anything in our life can be found. Any direction, any guidance can be found right there in God's Word. So there's three episodes up now. I'll be adding more content regularly. And so if you want to check that out, share it with friends, you can go to the podcast app or go to soundcloud.com. But the easiest way is just go to the website. It's right there, Life 66 Podcast. Click on that. It'll take you right to SoundCloud, and you can listen that way. Finally, on the website, if you're listening today, which you are, you're hearing my voice, on the website are the notes. So you can go to the website, find all the notes that you would normally get on Sunday morning, and you can follow along that way. Okay? So lots of things going on, lots of additions, and we hope those will be helpful for you. What I want to talk to you about today in the next few minutes is what happens when you pray, but there's no response. What do you do when it appears that God is not answering your prayers? If there's anything that's a struggle for me, is to meet with someone and they say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and nothing is happening. Have you ever been there? We're just like, God, are you even there? Are you aware? Are you off in some other place, in some other country, handling much more important business than my things? That I don't think God is answering. I'm not even sure if God answers prayer. Well, my question first off is, what prayer are you praying that you're afraid God is not answering? And that's an important question, and we're going to deal with that today, because it's not always an issue with God on His side. There are some things on our side that we need to take care of. Now, God is God, and He does what He wants to do. But He's given us promises, and He's given us His Word, and He's given us guidelines to help us wade through this often confusing and kind of mysterious thing that we call prayer. I've heard people just talk, say, you know, I've been praying for a job, and they just haven't been, it's not happening. I wonder what's going on. Is God, you know, does He not care about me and my finances? Or the woman who's been praying for her husband and he's struggling with maybe alcohol, and she's, I've been praying for a long time and yet he keeps coming home drunk. What do I do? Even now you may be praying regarding the situation with the coronavirus and the shutdown and how just difficult it is. And we don't know how long it's going to last, but we're praying, and sometimes, you know, God, are you even listening to what's happening in our life? Well, I want to tell you this morning that God is listening. He hears you. And He is answering. Have you ever been frustrated with prayer? Has there been something that really has bothered you and you're not sure what God is doing? You're not even sure if it really works when you pray? I'd like us to be a little bit interactive this morning. If you're watching on live stream, there should be a sidebar to the right-hand side of your screen where you can interact one with another. And maybe now is a good time to try that. Have you ever been frustrated in prayer? Maybe in your sidebar, you can comment with a thumbs up or a thumbs down, or maybe sometimes it's in the middle. Sometimes you're frustrated, sometimes you're not, so it's in the middle. I think we all have been frustrated at one point in time. Like a child who asks the parents for something and they don't get what they want. There's always reasons why they don't get what they want. But as a child, you don't understand that. All you know is you want what you want. Now, God is our Father. It's important for us to understand that throughout this entire teaching this morning. He's a Father. He's a good Father. He doesn't do things to spite us. He's always looking for our best. So when we don't get something, maybe there's reasons. Or when we don't get it in the timing we want, there are reasons. Well, here's what I want to tell you first of all. God always answers prayer. Always. Always, always, He answers prayer. But He answers prayer in four ways, and it's important for us to know what those four ways are. If you're following along in your notes, there the four ways are listed there. First, if your request is wrong, God says no. Okay. For instance, if you have a child and it's just before dinner time and the child says, you know, Mom, Dad, you know, I'd like some cookies right before dinner. And you say no. Well, because to you the request is wrong. You don't want him to spoil his dinner. So the request is there. It's not a bad request, an evil request. It's just at that moment it's a wrong request. And you say no. If our request is wrong with God, He'll say no. If the timing is wrong, God will say slow. Not yet. Wait a little bit. Now, we hate that answer. I know I do. When God says not yet, I want what I want now. That's why I'm asking for it. You see, God is so much bigger than us, and He knows already what's around the next corner. And so God is saying, listen, I know better. I know my timing, and my timing is perfect. And I'm saying, just slow down. I hear you, but not yet, and I want you to wait. And this is where our persistence comes in. We learned that last week, that we should not stop praying, but continue to persist. And in the right timing, God will either answer the prayer or He'll change our heart about the request itself. If the request is right, God says go. We're all in it. God wants to answer our prayers when those prayers are right. That's why it's always great to pray something we already know is promised in God's Word. Because we know that's a right request. The timing may be an issue, but the request itself is right. And God will say, go for it. It's all good. But there's a fourth one that I want to deal with today, and that is this. If you are wrong, God will say, grow. Sometimes the problem is with us. It's not a problem with the request at all. It's a problem with me. If I'm wrong, God will say, grow. And that's what we really want to deal with today. There are seven reasons I find in the Bible that make our prayer that would result in ineffective prayers. And those are the areas where we are wrong. We're doing something wrong. Something inside of us is wrong. Our attitude is wrong. Our behavior is wrong. And so let me walk you through those seven things this morning to help us remove that obstacle. If we remove that obstacle, then we can be full of faith, knowing that God will say yes when our prayer is according to His will. He'll say go. That He might say slow, the timing is not right, but at least we know that we've not created the blockage. He might say no if the prayer request is wrong, and He'll change our minds about that. But at least we've dealt with ourselves. So let's deal with these seven things, and walk with me through your outline. Number one, the prayer that is definitely not answered is the prayer I don't pray. Some of us, the problem is, for us, we just don't pray. It's that simple. Well, have you prayed about it? Well, no. I know God is a mind reader. He does know what you're thinking. He does know what you need. But He wants us to engage with Him. James chapter 4, verse 2 says this. You do not have because you do not ask. It's that simple. What prayers do you think God's going to answer when you don't pray them? Let me ask you this. Have you started a different prayer life as a result of the series so far? This series, the Prayer Priority Series? Maybe comment in your sidebar if you really made a definite decision to change your prayer life, that you're praying more now than you have been before. You're praying more persistently. You're praying more clearly because now you have a pattern of prayer that we learned a couple of weeks ago. Have you been one of those that have made a definite change in your prayer life? Well, then you should start seeing some differences then in how God responds to you, because the first thing is,
We don't get answers to prayers that we don't pray. One of Satan's greatest weapons is to destroy the best with the good. And some of us think it's good enough to go to church or to serve somewhere, and we're just really lack, though, in the prayer side. Those other things are good. To serve and to be kind and all of that, that's good stuff. But God has called us to be intimate with Him and talk to Him. So the prayer that is not prayed is a prayer that doesn't get answered. Number two, a problem with your prayer may be that you pray, but you pray with selfish motives. That same verse in James chapter 4 where it says, you do not have because you do not ask. The second part of that verse says this, but when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. God says, okay, fine. I got you over hurdle number one. You are praying, but I'm still not going to answer the request that you're making because you're asking with wrong motives. The prayer is for yourself. It's selfish. It's for you. I have a friend whose son who used to play for the New York Jets in the NFL. I was chatting with him, and he said, you know, we really started out praying the right prayers. God, just, you know, help him to be safe, help him to be a witness where he is. He's got a platform now being in the NFL. God, just use him for your glory. But my friend said he little by little started gradually also adding in other prayer requests to the glorify yourself, God, through my son. It was also, and God, help him to catch 2 TDs, help him to, you know, make a little more money, help him to get a new contract. And they realized, wait a minute, those are selfish motive prayers. That God responds to the prayer requests that are motivated for truly His glory and for the things that are of His heart. But when we start getting selfish in our prayers, that we might please ourselves, that we might, you know, reap some kind of personal, you know, glory because of that prayer request, then we may have a problem. You can pray for a better job. We all should be praying to grow and to excel. But are you praying for a better job so that you can say, look at me and how great I am? Are you praying for a better job so you can get more money so that you can please yourself, so that you can be extravagant with your spending? There's a difference between that and a good friend of mine who said that God led me out of retirement to work, but He led me to work for His glory. And I can tell you this, I know my friend very well, and he's very generous to the things of God, that he's using that work, not for his own glory, but to glorify the kingdom. When you pray, and you pray with God motives, God answers. When you pray with selfish motives, so you can enjoy spending on your own pleasures, that scripture says that God often says no to that prayer. Number three, one problem you might have in prayer is this. I pray with known sin in my life. I pray with known sin in my life. Here's what Isaiah 59:2 says. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities, your sins, have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. He will not hear. That's a decision by God. See, listen, I'm not too far away. My arm's not too short. I could be there if I wanted to be there, but there's a problem on our end. We're living in sin. We're living in doing things we shouldn't be doing. So God says, I'm not going to hear that prayer. Another verse in Psalm 66 says this, if I had cherished sin in my heart, you would not have answered. Those two verses are powerful. Now listen, I don't want you to be nervous about this one. I know that you probably are. That say, oh, you know, I messed up and I cursed. So oh, now God's not going to answer my prayers. Or, oh, I had a bad attitude and I got angry. Now God's not going to answer my prayers. Listen, you had this cherished sin in your heart. The word sins and iniquities in Isaiah are those practiced, habitual, cherished behaviors. Something you know is in your life, but you're choosing, even though you know it's not right, even though you know it's not pleasing to God, but you're choosing to say, God, I don't care. I'm keeping this. I'm not giving it up to you. That's the sin we're talking about. Because we all fail. We all slip up and things happen. And, you know, God doesn't immediately go, oh, now you're in trouble, not answering any of your prayers. God is not fickle, nor is he so, you know, just legalistic like that. God is a father. He understands our frailties. At the same time, he's our father, and he does not tolerate willful rebellion. I would not bless my children if they lived in rebellion to me. If they say, Father, I know you love us, but we're just not going to do what you say. We're going to do what we want to do. I guarantee you, when they need something or when they ask me for something when they were smaller, nope, I'm sorry. This is my house. We align together. We have relationship together. We agree together. We honor the authority together. Then I can pour out my blessing. But if there's rebellion and cherished sin, there's no answer to that. You may be convinced that your prayer is God's will. You may be convinced that you're praying properly. You may be convinced, because it hasn't happened, that maybe God is saying no or he's saying slow. When really, he may be ready to answer that prayer, but it's what's within you. That's the problem. It's that cherished sin. So, number one, prayer that is not prayed doesn't get answered. Number two, the prayer that is prayed with wrong motives or selfish motives is not answered. Three, the prayer that is given from a person who has cherished sin is not answered. And number four, when we pray ignoring God's word, very, very much connected to the last one, but it's knowing what God's word says and not abiding by those guidelines. Now, it might not be egregiously sinful, but if God says there are guidelines, there are things to practice, and we ignore those things, we ignore those practices, then God says, then you also forfeit the blessing that would come with practicing those things. Similar in our finances. God says, honor me by giving me the first 10%. That's a baseline. That's the first part. Above and beyond that, we can just give generously. But we start there. If we ignore God's direction to honor him with the first 10%, and then we have financial trouble, and we cry out to God and say, God, I'm in trouble. My finances are a mess. What do I do? But yet we still refuse to follow his principles. Then God can't answer that prayer. Because it's been on us to honor his word first. Here's what scripture says. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 to 28. Since you ignored all of my advice and would not accept my rebuke, then you will call to me and I will not answer. Isn't that powerful? If you ignored my advice, you will call to me and I won't answer. Proverbs 28:9. Anyone who turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable. Yes, God, I hear what you're saying. La, 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 la. I don't want to listen. I don't want to listen. God says, fine, when you call out to me, even your prayers are detestable. Ignore God. It's not as if he's tit for tat, but he's a good father. Parents, how many of you, if you ask your children to do something and they say, no, Dad, no, Mom, you ask them again, no, Dad, no, Mom, ask them again, no, Dad, no, Mom. They're ignoring you, ignoring you, ignoring you. Then they come and say, you know, Dad, Mom, can I have 20 bucks? I want to go out. What's your answer? Well, I know what my answer is, obviously. No. You've been ignoring what I've asked you to do, and now you want a blessing? No. You follow my guidelines. You follow the direction I've given you as your parent. God is a father. We don't ignore his word. We follow his direction, and then he can open up his blessings and his promises to you. So when you pray ignoring God's word, he won't answer. Number five. I pray with a stingy heart toward the needy. This is getting a little specific now. I pray with a stingy heart toward the needy. Here's what Proverbs 21 says. If a man shuts his ear to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 9:6 says this. Remember this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows generously will reap generously. This is specifically talking to our finances. And I know this, right now, we need God's help with our finances. As it's scary out there with this shutdown, as to, you know, what's going to happen. And maybe some of you are really in a tight spot in regard to your finances. God is not ignorant about what's going on. He knows how to meet our needs. But this scripture says if we've been callous to the needs of other people, if we've been hard-hearted toward the needs of the poor and been stingy toward them, when it's our turn to cry out, God doesn't listen. Not because he doesn't hear us, but because he said, listen, this is the way you are. You wouldn't be generous. Why do you expect me to be generous? If you sow sparingly, if you give a little, you reap a little. But if you give a lot, you reap a lot. You know, I just got to admit that there's a lot of things I struggle with. There's a lot of things in the Christian life and my own personal life that I'm not perfect about. I'm working on obeying God and everything I can, but to be honest, there's just some things that I struggle. Can I just tell you, in this area of money, I do not struggle. I don't know why. It's something I learned at a very young age, to work hard, to make money, to honor God. And Sandra and I, we practiced honoring God, and I brought that honor into the church. And our church has been a church that is extraordinarily generous. We honor God with our money. We always have, we always will. There's no doubt why, then, that our church, not being a tremendously large church, has a global impact because of this church's generosity. Why? Because God keeps pouring in income. He's always been generous with us. In our family, he's always been generous with us. I remember back a few years ago when Sandra and I made a very, very scary financial pledge for a 3-year period. And I want to tell you, during that 3-year period, when we were giving really beyond our means, God came and he met us. And he gave us probably the most prosperous 3 years that we've had. God is faithful to his word. If you're stingy toward the poor, if you're stingy toward the needy, if you're stingy in regard to generosity, when it's your turn, God may be stingy too. We reap what we sow. And I would challenge you to be generous. Even now when things are a little bit scary, be faithful. I'm not talking because we need the money. I just told you, God is taking care of us. This is for you. I want your finances to be healthy. So when you pray, God will respond. Number 6, I pray knowing there is a problem with a relationship I have with someone. You're praying, you're talking to God, but you know there's a relationship issue that's not resolved. Here's what Scripture says. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Isn't that interesting? Make sure your marriage is in good shape. Honor your husband's wives. And husbands, care and love for your wives. That relationship needs to be close and you need to care for each other so that your prayers won't be hindered. If there's a problem in the family and you know the problem is because of your attitude or your stubbornness or your lack of giving or your lack of love, then expect there to be a struggle in your prayer life because that relationship isn't right. Another place in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches this. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go be reconciled to your brother. Then come back and offer your gift. That's powerful. Think of yourself being in the church and we're worshiping God. You know, you're the way maker, the miracle worker. And we're praying, oh God, I need you to make a way. I need you to give me a miracle. But you know that there's a problem in a relationship. God says it's better to stop singing. Just stop. Don't sing anymore. Deal with it. Then when you come back to worship and you come back to glorify God, then he receives that. Otherwise, it's worthless. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're thinking, Pastor, I've tried. I've tried to make it right. The other person refused. There's nothing more I can do. Well, God's word does have a statement for that. He says this, make every effort to live in peace with everyone else as long as it is up to you. So in other words, make sure you've exercised everything you can do. And when you've done that, if the other person refuses, then you're off the hook. You've done what you can do. Now, hopefully the restoration can happen. And I would advise you to keep praying for that person. Because what good is it to have a broken relationship? But pray for them. Ask God to soften them. Ask God to bless them. And then hopefully that thing can turn around and you can have reconciliation. So as long as it is up to you, make sure that that's right. Especially you can make it right within your own home. And that you can work together and do whatever it takes to have a sweet relationship with those around you. Then your prayers won't be hindered. Okay, finally, number 7. I pray with doubt in my heart. A hindrance to your prayer is that you pray with doubt. James chapter 1, verse 5 to 7 says, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. For the one who doubts should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Now, this one's kind of tricky. Sometimes we think we're not doubting, and maybe we're doubting. And I've kind of wrestled with that myself. And I pray, God, and you know, in Jesus' name, and I'm praying, and I'm praying. And then there sneaks in a little bit of doubt, and I wonder, oh, no, I doubted. Does that mean, you know, that God is not going to answer that? Listen, he's a good father. He knows that some of us are very young in our prayer life. Some of us are a little older, maybe adolescents in our prayer life. Some of us are adults. Some of us are seniors with lots of experience. God knows where we are, and he understands. When the kids were little, maybe we'd be swimming somewhere, and they'd be on the side of the pool, and I'd be in the water, and I'd, you know, come on, jump, it's okay. And they'd see that, I'd see that fear in their eyes. I knew I was going to catch them. I knew I was strong enough to catch them. I knew they weren't going to drown, but in their little minds, they were afraid to step out. I wasn't mad at them for doubting. I knew that I had to help them work that doubt out. So I don't want you to be afraid about where you are in your prayer life, but we need to grow in faith. We need to grow and to pray, as we've learned the last few weeks, to pray bold prayers. Pray bold and not be afraid. Pray in Jesus' name and not be afraid. Pray persistent in Jesus' name. That to develop those prayer muscles. And as we develop those things, God will meet us right where we are. And as he meets us, you'll start seeing changes in your prayer life. That bold prayer of faith is powerful and effective. James chapter 5 says about Elijah, a guy just like us, no different. Yet he prayed and God opened up the heavens and caused rain to fall on the ground. It's important that we pray and not doubt. I remember a story in my own life about this, and I'm not praying this to boast because I had nothing to do with it. But I'll never forget that struggle with prayer and doubt in this moment when I was teaching in Zanzibar, off the coast of Tanzania. And it was a smaller gathering, an early church service. Maybe there's maybe no more than 25 people there. And it was in a church, a very large building, so there was echo in there, and a tin roof. And as I was preaching through a sound system, the rain just came down in torrents. I mean, remember that in Cupertino, we had this hailstorm a few days ago. It was kind of like that, but it was water. And it was so loud, I had to shout into the microphone, and still the people were leaning forward. They couldn't hear what I was saying. And I was preaching on faith. As I'm preaching on faith, they can't hear me. The rain is pounding this unbelievable sound. I'm shouting in a microphone. They can't hear me. And I didn't think about it. It's not that I was just contemplating anything. It was just this kind of just anger came out of me. And the thought went, these people can't hear. And I'm trying to teach them on faith. And I just started praying. I said, God, in Jesus' name, these people can't hear. They need to learn about faith. They need to learn that you are with them and that you are good. I'm praying in Jesus' name that you stop this rain. And when I said, stop this rain, the doubt jumped into my head. And when I said that, the doubt said, are you completely nuts? You know the rain's not going to stop. You know it's not going to stop. You're going to end your prayer. It's going to still be just as loud. It's going to be still just as that they're still not going to be able to hear. And you're going to look like a fool. I thought that in a split second. But then the other side of me said, well, you're too deep in the prayer now. You can't quit praying. So I just decided, I'm not listening to that. I'm going to keep praying. I said, in Jesus' name, these people need to hear your word. Make this rain stop. As God is my witness, it was just like somebody turned off the faucet in the heavens. And the rain was going. And when I said, amen, it went. The last few raindrops on that roof, and it stopped. And for the rest of the service, those people could hear. But you should have seen their faces. They're wide-eyed, looking around at each other. And at the end of the sermon, the pastor came up and he said, God wanted us to hear this today because you heard the rain stop. I tell you that story to tell you that all of us have that tug of war inside of us when it comes to faith and doubt. As we're stepping in faith, oftentimes the enemy will begin to put those thoughts in our minds and say, what are you doing? Are you nuts? God's not going to answer that prayer. What's wrong with you? And so we get afraid and we don't want to pray. I was so thrilled today to receive a text just this morning from Amy Agbambase that said she had a friend at one of her kids' school who had, she'd been sick, her one child's been sick, and the little one was getting sick, and they had very, very similar COVID-19 symptoms, but they couldn't get a test. So the mom that called Amy was afraid. And Amy stepped out in faith and said, you know, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for your son. That boy went to bed with 100.4 temperature, and they were afraid. Woke up this morning, Sunday morning, and she called Amy, or texted Amy and said, Amy, thank you so much for praying. My son woke up normal, normal temperature. Nothing is wrong, no symptoms. Thank you for praying. Now, this is a person who's not used to prayer. I don't even think this person knows Jesus. But what if Amy had been afraid and said, well, you know, thoughts and prayers. Don't want to take an aggressive step now. No, she prayed in faith, believing because God answers prayer. Let's follow these seven steps this week. And let's begin to root out the hindrances in our life. I want to ask you this. What can you do to make your prayer life more effective? The Bible says this in Psalm 139. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We need to ask God to test us. We might not even know that there's a hindrance in our life. But as we pray that prayer, search me, O God, know my anxious thoughts. He knows when you're anxious. See if there's anything in me that's a hindrance, and lead me out of that. That's what we need to pray. And we're going to pray that in just a minute. But I want to ask you, be on the sidebar, you can share with each other, What's the greatest hindrance that you can identify today in your prayer life? Is it the prayer that you don't pray? Do you pray with selfish motives? Do you pray with known sin in your life? Do you pray ignoring God's word? Do you pray as you have ignored the needy and not been generous? Have you prayed knowing that there's a bad relationship? Or have you prayed with a doubtful heart? Any of those things can be something that will restrict the flow of that prayer life and causes God to say, let's fix this. And then once we fix this, the floodgates can open. This is not a performance type of a thing that God's saying, nope, you just got to pray right. Nope, sorry, you're not praying right. It's not like that. He's a father, and he knows how to give good gifts to his children. So it's about the relationship. And as we honor God, and as we walk with him in a way that is righteous and pure and true, and we follow his counsel, like any good father, he can open up his blessing. So what's the hindrance that maybe that you're struggling with? You might want to share that with each other. And pray for one another as you're sharing those things. Even pause right now as you are listening to me talk and you're interacting together. Maybe you can pause right now and pray for each other. If not right now, I ask you to go to the website and look at one of the prayer gatherings this week and join in via video conference and pray for each other, that God would help you to get over the things that you're struggling with that might be hindering your prayer. I know this, that I want to pray for you today. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You're just listening in and you found out about our service this morning and you realize that you've been trying to talk to God, but you don't even know God. That's not to say He's ignoring you. He's not. But the prayer that you need to pray today is, Lord Jesus, I submit to You. I want to give my life to You because I believe You're God and that I don't have You in my life. You can pray that today and you can invite Him in. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment, and I'm going to pray a prayer that you can pray along with me. And if you pray this prayer, that you can trust that God has come into your life. For others of you, I'm going to pray for you too, that the Lord would help you to overcome those hindrances to your prayer life so that you can pray with power. You can pray with faith. You can pray knowing that when you pray according to God's will and His timing, that He will answer. Let's pray together. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. God, I call on You in the name of Your Son. For those that don't know You today, there may be some listening to me right now. I pray, Father, if there are those who don't yet know You as their Savior, that today would be their day. What better day, what better time to come into a real, vital relationship with the Creator of the world, the One who knows us so well, the One who wants to be our Father and our close, close friend. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that You touch each one. And if you're there and you want to pray this prayer, you can pray something like this along with me. Dear God, I know that I need You. I know that I am far from You, that I've lived my life my own way, but today I realize that I need You. I choose to submit to You. I ask You to be my Lord, and I ask You to come into my life, be my Savior. I ask You to forgive me of all the selfish things that I think and do. And I want to be different. I want to know You, God. And I want to be confident that I can walk with You and be like You. And when I pray, know that You'll answer because You're with me. I know that one day I'm going to die. I'm going to leave this world, and I want to be confident that when I do, I'll see You face to face and You'll invite me into Your heaven. Come into my life today, Lord God. For the rest of you, I'd like to pray this. Lord, for those that do know You, but maybe they've been frustrated in their prayer life, God, I ask in Jesus' name that they would not complain against You, be angry or bitter against You because they asked for something and they didn't get what they wanted. Forgive us, God, for being spoiled children. Forgive us for throwing those temper tantrums and for shaking our fists at You when all along the problem may have been us. I pray, Father, that You would help us to search ourselves and that we want to pray, God, that You would search us. Know our hearts. See our anxious thoughts. See if there's any ungodly way in us. We want to submit those things to You, Lord, so that our prayer can be powerful and effective. I thank You, Lord, for hearing us today. And I pray, Father, this week we'd follow through and that we would remove anything and everything that we know could hinder our prayers, and that You would show us each day more and more how to grow and be like You. I thank You, Father, and give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so glad you've joined us today. Maybe you joined us, and this is the first time that you have had any exposure to Abundant Life Church. We want to be here to serve you. So please make contact with us. You can go to the website, and a contact email is there. It's alagoffice@alagonline.com, and you can get in touch with us. We'd like to serve you. We'd like to help you and get to know you. So please take advantage of that. The rest of you lifers, it's tough not seeing you. Miss you terribly and miss the opportunity to meet with you. But God is doing some really, really cool things during this time. And now is not the time to be worried. Now is the time to look at the opportunities. So as you pray, ask God to give you creativity on how to reach out to your friends and loved ones. And let's see God do something really special when we thought that it was a really tough time. God truly does work all things together for good. So let's be those kind of people that trust God and see Him work through us this week. We'll see what happens. We'll see what this week looks like. But until we meet again, God bless you. Know that you are very, very loved. And let's pray the prayers without hindrances, the prayer of power this week. Amen. Love you all. God bless you.